I once knew a husband and wife whose six-month-old baby had died many years ago. The death of the child occurred in Pakistan, where they were living at the time. A kind and wise, very old Punjabi, when he heard of their tragedy, came to comfort them. A tragedy like this, he said, is just like being plunged into boiling water. If you are an egg, your affliction will make you hard-boiled and unresponsive. But if you are a potato, you will emerge soft and pliable, resilient and adaptable. The mother, in her grief, took those words into her heart, and she carried with them all through her life, so that not too long ago she told me, it may have sounded funny to God so many times when I was praying, that I would pray, O Lord, once more, please let me be a potato. To help us understand that when any one of us needs to work our way through grief of any kind, we discover it is a slow, slow process. Whenever we suffer the loss of a loved one, it takes time. Time to emerge soft, pliable, resilient, adaptable. And in today's story about Lazarus, when Jesus came to the tomb, he discovered that his friend Lazarus, whom he loved very much, had people around his tomb who were not potatoes. Instead, they were crying bitter, bitter tears in their mourning. And when Jesus was confronted with that deep sorrow, he also, being an emotional man, began to weep because he loved Lazarus very, very much. And therefore, listening to the hints given to him by the family, using the resurrection power that he had within him, he restored his friend Lazarus to life. And using the same resurrection power, Jesus then brought comfort to those mourners and transformed their bitter tears into tears of joy. Now that important word, comfort, comes from two Old English words that mean to strengthen someone very much, to strengthen greatly. And this entire 14th chapter of the Gospel of John is devoted to that one theme. Jesus, in so many instances there, comforted his people. They were in great need. The followers had seen that something very dangerous was about to happen in their lives. They didn't know what it was. And because Jesus also foresaw the future in that way, he would keep repeating to them comforting words whenever he sensed their disturbance. He would say, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. My peace I give you. My peace I leave with you." And that is the way it is with us. These days it is so difficult sometimes even to survive. From one week to another, from week to week, we come to church burdened with added distress, a death in the family, a serious illness, the loss of a job, trouble with our children or with our family. and we begin to come apart. We feel the pressures build up within us, and we know that we need to be comforted. And so that is the great promise that I can make to you this morning through the Christ. That through your love for Jesus, who, as Paul said a moment ago, whose Spirit lives within each one of us, that Spirit of the Lord within us is given to us personally to bring us that kind of healing, of strength, of comfort, so that we are never left afraid, nor alone, nor desolate, nor broken in spirit. The Spirit of the Lord dwells within us to give us the strength we need at the moment that we need it. And there is a dimension to that mystery that is important. That just as Jesus prepared his people at his time to become disciples, to bring his healing and comfort to other people in their lives, in their world, today, hearing the holy words of Scripture, the Lord prepares each of us to offer his healing and comfort to the broken people of our world, whom we reach out and touch, and to whom we bring his healing through ourselves. The Lord wants to strengthen us greatly today, to comfort us, so that each of us will know exactly what to say and what to do when the moment comes that we need, when we meet someone who needs our help. And that is not always easy. As in this case of a man I shall call Jerry, who was having marital problems. He had joined a growth group in his community to learn how to express his feelings, which he had kept repressed for a long time. This experience for him in a growth group was new, uncomfortable, but his wife had insisted upon it because she didn't recognize him any longer as the man that she had married. He'd been working with his growth group for several months when he learned that a colleague of his had a heart attack and was in the hospital. But there, the routine blood tests indicated that the man also had leukemia. And so Jerry called on his colleague, and later on, he described to me what that visit was like. He said, up until a few months before, a situation like this would have meant I went to the hospital, and at best, I would have spent the visiting time just in chit-chat and talking about the weather or the football season. But this time I couldn't do it. I found myself telling him, first of all, that we really needed him. We really missed him at work. Then he said, I did something that was very hard for me to do. I had worked with this man for 20 years, and I had never said anything like this before in my life to him. What I said was, I want you to know that I really care about you. And then he said, I remember blinking twice before I also said, and I love you. And then I left. Another co-worker visited that patient shortly afterwards, and the patient sat there in tears. And he said, you know, my friend Jerry was here and told me the two things that I needed to hear more than anything else. I needed to know here in my sick room that I'm still needed by someone, and he told me that. And I need to know here in my depression that someone still loves me the way I am. And he told me that. Now later on, when Jerry heard about this effect he had upon the patient, Jerry told me how difficult it was for him to do what he did, but how glad he was that he had taken that growth course, that he had broken out of his embarrassment, was able to become more straightforward in expressing his emotions. He discovered that he himself had been comforted and strengthened by giving comfort and strength to his friend. That is how it is with all of us. Whenever we give, whatever you do give to anyone, we receive always in kind. That is the work of the Spirit of the healing Christ within us. Mother Teresa was asked, as she works with the downcast people of India, the lowest of the low, how she goes on doing it. And she said, only because the strength of God is given to me in Christ. I could not do this work for one day. In fact, not even for 1 hour, without knowing that the comfort and strength is given to me by the Lord. Each of us is able to say the very same. Each of us is given the same comfort of the same Spirit. And we are told and helped to know what to say and when to say it. I am the resurrection and the life. We all believe that about Jesus. The Spirit of Jesus dwells in us. It means that this morning, within a certain area of life, there's a certain dimension of each of us that it is a state of disintegration. In that area of our life, we are able to be strengthened and comforted and healed. And as we are made whole, we are able to help others. Each of us this morning is Lazarus. All of us together are Lazarus. When Jesus called out the words of the gospel, he called to us. He spoke to our heart and said, come out. To each of us, he said, come out of your tomb. Come out of the darkness of your tomb. No matter how discouraged or distressed you are, and I will give you new life. Take away the darkness and heal you. That is the mystery of resurrection. Now. And it happens every day.